Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Yes, good to see you. Good to see you all. We're just going to wait on the Lord for a little minute. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that we are in your house. I thank you, Lord God, that these are your people, Lord. I thank you for every woman in this place, for every man in this place, for every young person that is in this house. We thank you, Lord God, that, Father, they are your people, and you love them, and you care for them, and you paid a great price for them, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for them, that, Lord, they are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and that whatever happened with Christ has happened to them, that Jesus died on the cross, Lord God, and when he was dying on the cross, they were also dying on the cross. And that, Father, as Jesus was raised from the dead, Lord God, they were also raised from the dead. That, Father, as Jesus is seated in the heavenly places, Father, that is the position that they're in. Oh God, I pray that your people would recognize who they are, that you have called them to be your ambassadors, that they have a message of hope, that they would call people back to God. Father, I thank you that wherever they go, Lord God, that they are carriers of your spirit. Father, I thank you that, Lord, as you send them out, Lord God, that they would go in your power. Wherever they are, Lord, that they would be able to take the presence of God with them. Lord, you said that all authority, you have given them authority over all the power of the enemy. That, Father, that they would trample on snakes and scorpions, and surely no harm will come upon them. That they do not need to be afraid, Lord God, because all the power has been over the enemy has been given to them. That they are not beggars, Lord God, that as they look to you, they would just expect things to happen because you are the one that makes a way for them. I pray, Father, that you would continue to fight for your people. I pray, Lord God, that you are calling each and every one of us to a greater place of intimacy with you, of getting to know you more each and every day. Even as Peter said, when people were leaving Jesus, when they were leaving Jesus because they were offended by the things that he said, the Lord Jesus turned to the side and said, "Do you want to leave as well?" And Peter said, "Where can we go? Because you have the words of life." May that be the cry of our heart, Lord God, that we are wedded to you, that we do not want, Lord God, to be separate from you, that where else can we go? We cannot go to the Pharisees because they don't have the solutions to life, but you, oh God, have the solutions to life, and that we would never leave you, that we would say, where can we go, Father? You have the words of eternal life. And so I pray that you would breathe anew into your people. You would breathe hope into their lives where there is no hope. Whatever situation they're facing, Lord God, give them the courage to face it. And that you have given them the enablement of your grace over their lives. Bless their families. Bless their children. Bless their brothers and sisters. Bless their nieces and nephews. Father God, we give you praise that we are your vessels. We are your vessels, and as your vessels, Lord God, that you would work in us and then through us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Oh, no, you can keep playing. Thank you. How's everyone this morning? Good? Good to see you all. This morning, I just want to bring some encouragement, you know, very quickly. Not quickly, but, you know, just want to bring some encouragement around. This is our missions month where we're doing our missions giving. And so my encouragement really is around that and the journey that we're on as a church. But before I do that, I just want to give you this promise in the month of August, coming from 1 Samuel chapter 7, when the Israelites had to face their enemies. But it says, but the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. And so I'm saying that let the voice of God thunder into your situation, that whatever you are facing is defeated, that you will experience God this month as your ever-present help. So Samuel set up a stone, and he says, God is our stone of help. Is our ever-present help. And so whatever you're going through this month, whatever you might face, hey, Lord, you my ever-present help. Amen? May you experience the help of the Lord from your enemies this month. Now, your enemies are not necessarily physical people, is it? But it's anything that comes against you. Anything that's coming against you, health in your body, whatever you're going through, is to say, hey, God, you my ever-present help, you my Ebenezer, my stone of help. Because up to this point, he says, the Lord has helped us. I'm just trying to encourage you that the Lord will help you. The Lord, he will not abandon you. There is no way God can abandon you. He's brought you all this way to leave you to suffer. To leave you to struggle. I don't think he is our ever-present help. Amen? So, we are in Matthew chapter 28 as we leap into the spring season and our missions month. Thank you, Lily. Please put your hands together for... Matthew 28, verse 18. You know, Lily... The Lord, there's certain things that the Lord is, there's certain gifts that God has put in your life. But there's also something, there's an activation that is required on your part, which means that you are going to have to put some of those things into what? Practice. You are actually going to have to do what is it. And so sometimes when we bring these words of encouragement that the Lord is gifted you to do certain things, whether it's musically, singing of songs, writing of songs, you now have to deepen your relationship with the Lord. It is actually a call for pursuit, to pursue him. Now you pursue him through his word. As you spend time with him, greater levels of intimacy that you need to have with him, because it is from that place that you're able to draw out what God is saying to you from the deep. So that means that it's time to activate those things. Amen? Yeah. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20 states, then Jesus came to them and said, now them, he meant the disciples. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he then says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so this morning, as you know, what's going to happen over the next 3 weeks is that there will be an unpacking of the stuff that Portcare does locally, which is our mission, part of our community mission. Then you'll have the following week, you're going to have Steve Coppin come and tell you what we're doing outside of that. And then on the last week, on the first week of, on the 1st of September, then Pastor Nami will just come, and that's really, the day that, we bring our offering for what we're doing with missions. But I want to just let everybody know just about some of the shifts we are making in regard to our missions, and then I'm going to outline some reasons why we're doing that, so that, you know, it will give you some greater clarity and understanding. So it's essentially a new chapter in missions. And so what we're going to be doing over the next month is that we're going to be celebrating what God has done, but also at the same time allowing us to align ourselves for the season that we're in as a church. And so every year, Leap into Spring is a moment for us to pause, reflect, and give thanks to God for all that He has done, both here and across the world in the places that we support. But this year, I think that there's a fresh sense of God's leading. And just like, you know, seasons change, we believe that, you know, it's time for us to shift our missions as well. And so we're stepping into a new chapter, one that fits where our church is right now and positions us for sustainable growth and sets us up to reach further in the future. We're going to be celebrating what's been, and we begin to align ourselves for what's coming next. And so why are we shifting? Why are we making the pivot? And so essentially there's really just a change in focus. It's the same mission, but a new strategy, a new way of doing things. One of the things we want to do is to recognize the current capacity of our church. So, and therefore, because of that, we want to move to a more sustainable and scalable model of how we do missions. So, back in the day, you know, our church began to do many things. They would do things in Liberia, Philippines, India, and Sierra Leone. Now, that was wonderful. And so we kept doing, you know, we kept doing. But I think there's come a time where we actually have to understand where our current capacity is as a church and say, hey, it's great that we're doing all that kind of stuff out there, but I think we need to shift that focus a bit and say, in terms of our capacity, perhaps we cannot do all that. So let's scale things down to a level that is more manageable for the current size of church that we are. Amen? So what we want to be able to do is essentially, as we learned from Acts chapter 1, it says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is giving us a blueprint of start here where you are known, where, you know, and then you begin to do what? You begin to expand. So we want to strengthen our Jerusalem before we reach any further. So our mission hasn't changed. The Great Commission calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. However, what we do, how we do that in this season, needs to be aligned with our capacity. So if we're a church of 500 people, we can do what 500 people can do. But if we're a church of 60 people or 70 people, well, we need to scale it down to do things that are manageable for 60 people. And not necessarily, and please, I'm not talking here about reducing our levels of faith, but I'm saying let's be prudent in terms of our stewardship in how we do things. So what 500 people can do, 100 people cannot do. So this is what I mean, is that we're not changing the, we're still, yes, mission is still our focus, but how we do it has to change. So basically, if we were doing things in 5 different areas, perhaps that's no longer manageable for us. So we might just pick a few things to do rather than try and do a lot. So in Acts 1, Jesus outlines that pattern. Start in Jerusalem, you go to Judea and Samaria. And so for us, our Jerusalem is Fremantle, is Kwinana, and it's our local community. It's not about doing less. It's about doing what we can do with excellence, depth, and lasting impact. So we are regrouping, in essence, and strengthening our base, and then preparing to expand our reach when the time is right. So, what Jesus outlines, the specific sequence of doing things, is basically Jerusalem, Judea, you begin to move to the broader region, people of similar culture, but beyond your immediate community. So Jerusalem is here. Quinana, this is us here, among the people that we already know. Then Judea, you're broadening, it's going your broader reach. Samaria, you're stepping into your cross-cultural ministry, even to people with whom we might have some tensions with, you know, we're going out there. And then the ends of the earth extends beyond our cultural, linguistic, or geographical limits. So what this outlines for us is it gives us a strategic progression. We local, strengthen that, regional, and then you grow. So each stage, once you grow strong, you're able to do it, you're able to do more. Each step in what Jesus was doing helps build on the previous one, so the mission is more sustainable in the future as we go. And so I guess the question is, why would Jesus in Matthew 28 say, go into all the nations, but then in Acts, he gives specific direction on how you do things. And so the Great Commission, I guess, inspires you and I with the universal vision. All nations, you got to go to everybody. But Act grounds that vision with the practical steps. So start strong where you are, and then you begin to do it. You begin to expand. Without the general vision of the Great Commission, without Christ giving that direction, what could have happened is that the disciples might only focus inward and never go anywhere. So he gives that general mandate. Now, in Acts 1, we get the specific steps, because what he's basically saying is that you might try to go everywhere at once, but what's going to happen is that you'll burn out and then dilute your impact. So you strengthen where you are, and then as you strengthen, you then begin to expand at each level. So for us, you know, when we say strengthen our Jerusalem, strengthening Fremantle, strengthening Quinana, strengthening our local ministries, our youth, and our kids' ministry, I think those are some of the key focus points that we want to have. In understanding that we need to actually, in essence, have a church that is going to raise up young people, because that's how the church is going to survive tomorrow. That's how this place will continue to be a beacon of hope for other people in the future. Without us strengthening or having a strong kids ministry, having a strong youth ministry, well, in essence, we've really got nothing to hand over. We've got nobody to hand the church over to. And so this is why we need to strengthen those areas. What we do is that we celebrate, you know, the impact that we've made. You've also have to understand that port care used to be stuff that we as a church used to do. And then over time, we realized that as it was growing, port care then got spun off and into a separate organization. Now, port care is the one that provides, we've got an op shop in, where? O'Connor, yes, on South Street. On O'Connor. And so what we do there is that we run an op shop, we sell clothes, they sell furniture, but they also sell groceries. The key thing that they do as well is that they give out fruit and vegetable boxes to those that I need. There is free, they give out free bread, you know, and that was, so yeah, that obviously all started through the church. Now, Port K is an independently run charity, registered with the ACNC, the Australian Charities Not-for-Profits Commission. So it's a registered, it's run independently, it's got its own board. I happen to be the chair of the board. And it's run by Pastor Charlie and his team. And so it's a really, this is our extension into the community to help those people that are in need. But we need, you know, we need our local area here to be strong. So you're going to hear from Pastor Charlie next week about the work that they're doing in obviously the distribution of fruits and vegetable boxes, providing of bread and all the other stuff that they do. They've moved into a new direction as well, which, you know, so that you'll be pleasantly surprised next week when he tells you some of the extra things that they're doing to help people in our community. They also run a, 2 years ago, I think it's from last year, we started doing distribution of fruit and vegetable boxes here in Kwinana. And that has been going very, very well, and it's well received within our community. And we're all just trying to do our bit to support people and to care for them. And so you find that the team here meet on a Friday and they distribute that those things to our community. Over time, of course, we want that to grow because that's showing the love that we have for those people that are in need in our community. And I think that's very, very vital we do that. Our youth ministry is another sign of God's blessing. 3 years ago, we only had a handful of young people. And, you know, out of a desire, David Langlands, you know, he's a father, it's his daughter, Abriella. He wanted to see his daughter grow in the Lord. And he said, hey, I'm willing to run a Home Connect group. And so they did that for a few years, faithfully. And then we were praying, you know, oh, Lord, we need somebody to lead our youth. Boom, boom, boom. And then eventually, you know, God provided that individual to us to be able to lead our youth. And so now we launched our youth group last year, led by Mr. Bert and his team. And today we have at least 15 to 17 young people that meet weekly across our Fremantle and Kwinana campuses. And I think that's actually a good thing. It's a very, very good thing that now we've got kids that are being discipled that are, number one, they've got a space where they can learn about the Lord in a way that is user-friendly for them, but also they can grow deep. And from there, they're able to hear the voice of the Lord for themselves. And we know that this is just the beginning, you know. We need to strengthen our kids' ministry, kids' zone ministry, so that both children and youth are discipled well, becoming the next generation to carry the mantle of the Lord. If we don't focus on strengthening our Jerusalem now, we will have no base from which to launch future what? Future missions. So essentially, what I'm saying is that with the stuff that we were doing, it was things that when we came on board, it was things the church was doing. But now I think that, so we inherited that, and I think we faithfully kept going. But now I think the time has come for us to make a shift to say, hey, let's review the stuff that we were doing in all these places. Let's start to also recognize where we are as a church, that perhaps we can't do all of that. It's too much for us to do, so let's refocus where our energies go. So there's definitely going to be a reviewing of the things that, some of the stuff that we were doing in Liberia where we were supporting a school, or paying for teachers, and that has been happening for so many years. And I think one of the key things is that we informed our team there in Liberia that, hey, as of, we did this in January, to say this will be the last 12 months that we will be providing that type of support. And the real reason is to say, you know, it's not sustainable for us as a church to continue to do that. And so we gave them a good lead time to prepare themselves, you know, for an alternative. We didn't just say, you know, just rip the Band-Aid off and say, sorry, see ya. No, we gave them advance warning that this is what we're doing. Because I think there's also just an understanding that, hey, we can't do everything. But it's also important that whatever we do should never be at the detriment of what is happening here. That's really, I think, a key and fundamental thing that is what I'm saying. So what we will be doing is that, you know, starting from February of 2026, what we're trying to do is to partner with World Vision. Partner with World Vision in their chosen program. What we will look to do as part of our missions going forward is that as a church, which is a combined Fremantle and Kwinana, we're going to be looking to sponsor 10 World Vision children. And of course, part of that, because World Vision is going to visit us in February next year and roll out this chosen program where, you know, before World Vision used to just All Compassion, they used to come, and what you would do is that you would choose a child and say, okay, I'm going to pick this child. But they flipped it around now where the child chooses you. So what they will do is that they'll come in here, and for those that want to participate, they will take your picture, and then wherever the children are, whatever part of the world that is, the children will now come into a room where all your pictures are hung, and then the kids will get an opportunity to choose you. So it's just a different way of trying to do that whole program. So the church will do 10. That's us as a church committing to do 10. And then if any others are willing to do it, it just means that, let's just say another 10 people are willing to each sponsor one kid. That means we'll have 20 people, 20 children in the same community that are getting help. The other thing we will do is to basically outline to that particular community, say, if there's any community development projects like the digging of a well or doing something, we will contribute a certain amount of money towards that. And that becomes the extent of what our involvement is in our missions program. And I think that it's something that is very manageable. It's just recognizing that, hey, we cannot do everything, and it's very important that we do things in terms from a stewardship perspective. We try to do things that are, you know, we do the right thing, of course, but also that means that as our church grows, then that means our capacity to do stuff also changes, and then we can scale it up. And the way to scale it up is to say, hey, perhaps we're going to sponsor, instead of 10 kids, we're going to sponsor 15 kids. And then as we keep growing, boom, we scale it up again. But guess what? So it's scaled up, determining so that it's manageable for our church. So that our heart is still there for the nations, is still alive and well. Which means that we're going to be, obviously, like I mentioned, the school support that we were doing in Liberia, that ceases at the end of December. That finishes, that's going to be, you know, completely cut off. Then all the other stuff we're doing in the Philippines, in India, there, you know, we're going to sort of like taper that off and then just begin to focus on this world, on what we're doing with, what we'll be doing with World Vision. And of course, allowing those other ministries some lag time to be able to start to look for alternative things. And that's just the right thing, where we're not just leaving people in the lurch, but we're informing them that, hey, we're going in a different direction. And what we want to be able to do is to have a thing that is sustainable, but also where there's a community development impact, where if we go into a community, you know, for example, with the stuff that World Vision does, is when you go into a community, they try and strengthen that community, make it self-sustainable. Because what we want to be able to do is that if we go into a community, after X number of years, surely that community should have been, the people are empowered to help themselves. That's really the key ethos behind what we're doing, is that the mission strategy is that, hey, we're going to go into a community, but we're going to make sure that we are empowering people so they can help themselves. So that over time, the help that we're bringing is what tapers off. Like, how many of you sponsor a Compassion or World Vision child? How many of those children have changed over time? Yeah. Like, we used to support a child in Mongolia, and all of a sudden, it's a new child. Because they said that community is done. They're now moving to another community. And so now we're sponsoring somebody else. So which is what we want, where there's just that, the development and the empowerment of that community. You know, when we spoke recently about, I don't know what scripture it was, where the Lord said to leave the margins, create margin for people so that instead of giving them stuff, let them do the work that they need so their dignity remains intact. So it's creating margin so that people can help themselves and so they're empowered and then we can move on to the next thing. So together, we're going to leap ahead in the next season. So we're not ending what we're doing for our missions. There's just going to be a realignment for greater fruitfulness. There will be a better resource allocation, understanding where we are. You know, we can't do 10 things when we're only 100 people. Maybe we only do one. But let's do that one well. Let's do it very well. And let's be good stewards of the resources. So I'm going to ask that over the next few weeks, as you hear the stories of what is happening, that I'm just going to ask that you pray, Lord, how much you want me to give, and then you give and just participate with what it is that we're doing. And that will happen. You still got a lot of time. There's some cards on your seats there. Take that away. Think about it, whether you're going to, you know, and just think about an amount that you are going to want to give. And then just do that on the 1st of September by faith. So I guess from my position and the board's position, we just felt that, you know, with all the stuff that we're doing, it just was not sustainable for us. It's not sustainable for us, and that is why we thought, you know what, we actually have to. We've been speaking about what we wanted to do. Our initial plan was to go to Liberia and to visit there and to see what's happening, and then say and let them know, once we see what's actually there on the ground, then say, hey, this is the change that we're making. But just the cost to get there, cost us $13,000. And we're like, no, there's no way we're going to be paying $13,000 for travel. I think it's exorbitant. So I think what we want to do is to be good stewards, but do things in a way that we can, once as the church begins, its capacity increases, then what we do, our footprint also increases over time. Is that okay? I'll get the team to come back up. What song are we singing? Who? Oh, is there another one? Okay, great are you, Lord. These are just the choice things, please. Those are just my idiosyncratic tendencies. I'll invite you to stand this morning. Just as the team begins to sing in the background, thank you, whilst you oil yourselves up, I just want to give an opportunity for anybody that has never given their lives to the Lord. Oh, thanks, Andrew. Has ever given their lives to the Lord? I'm just going to invite you to say a prayer, and just please join in with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and make a choice to follow you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is probably one of the best things that, and being in relationship with him is the greatest decision that anybody can make. And so that is you, if you're here in this place this morning and you've never made that decision, and you say, hey, you know, I just want to recognize that was the first time I said that prayer to follow the Lord. Just raise up your hand so that I can see. Thank you. As we finish, the floor is open for prayer. If you need prayer, please come to the front. I think Lydia, I want to pray for you. Yeah.
give
hope. I will do it at the end.
You restore every heart that